You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech Roundtable Show. I always look forward to our roundtable show. We got some fantastic, juicy stories to discuss this month. We've got a guest panelist, a returning friend of the show. We got, well, I think he's a friend, Kevin Carey with us. He's already been giving Spencer some
good tips.
Compliments, some tips and insights about his camera work. I've got the regular panel. We're going to be discussing core committers struggling to keep WordPress moving. Right. We've got a juicy story, a really deliciously juicy story about Meta and about how its executives really run the company. And we've got a host of other stories. It should be a great show. Like I say, I've got a great panel. I'm going to start with Heather. Heather, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, hi. I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference, and I am known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
That's fantastic. I've got Kevin. Would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Hey, everybody. I'm Kevin Geary. I'm a WordPress educator and software company owner currently working on HWP.
That's fantastic. I've got Mark. He's got glorious sound. And he looks less worried than he did when he first entered the room. So, Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Mark Benzikane. I'm with MainWP, and I'm all around WordPress everywhere, it seems.
Oh, that's nice to know.
It feels like it, anyway.
Yes. I've got the only Spencer Forum in the house. He's shrunk his head to a certain level. Would you like to introduce yourself, Spencer?
It's Spence from WP Launch. I liked Kevin's thing. I WordPress instigator, maybe I'd be the WordPress agitator, interrogator, something like that. Sounds good. I like it. There needs to be somebody stirring the pot occasionally.
Well, I've been marked as the interrogator, Matt, you know, as Kirk would testify, I seemingly give guests a rough time, you know. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm having second thoughts. No,
your sound, it's not going for...
You're on a different mic, Kurt.
It's not going for your mic, Kirk. You come back, sort that out, but Kirk is in the house, my beloved. He needs to sort out his sound. Do you think you sorted it?
How about now?
Oh, yes, that sounds a lot better. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I run Manana No Mas, and we make membership and learning websites and work with WP Tonic and the good folks at Lifter LMS.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better. I think you're still a little bit distant from the mic, actually.
You're listening to Smooth Jazz.
Yes, there we go. Like I say, we've got some really juicy stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers, just like you, sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
I'm coming back, folks. I also want to point out that I've got a created list of the best WordPress plugins, services, and everything you would want if you were a WordPress professional, freelancer, agency, or power user. This free resource with special offers from our sponsors. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. you're supposed to be typing the addressing panel. But there we go. They look blank at me. Especially Kevin. He has no idea what I'm saying. Do you think it's just my accent, Kevin? No.
No comment.
All right, yeah. But go over there and get all the special deals and what you're looking for. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. And Spencer didn't butt in this week. Thank you so much, Spencer, for holding yourself back. So let's go straight into it. We start with, well, it's going to be an interesting show because all the stories about WordPress are really, in my opinion, about the same 2 to 3 core subjects. But I'm going to try and split the conversation up into different parts because I don't want it to take up the whole of the first half of the show because I want to get to story 2 and Heather's comments on it. So, but story 1 is core committers struggle to keep WordPress moving as automatic steps back. And I don't see this as all bad news. What do you reckon, Kevin?
Well, it depends on what camp you're in. I mean, if you are if you're the kind of person or software developer that needs Gutenberg, for example, to be moving forward and shoring up some of its issues, then it sounds like you're going to be waiting a while. If you were the person or the kind of person who is waiting on WP Admin, UI, unification and updates to come, you're probably going to be waiting a while. If you were the kind of person who felt like you just like the core WordPress experience and you wish they would quit messing with it, then you're probably pretty happy.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. I really am a supporter of Gutenberg. I am not a supporter of full site editing. That is the problem. Mark, what do you think about this? I've got mixed feelings about the whole thing.
I think, like most of us, I have mixed feelings too. I think that taking a breath is not a bad thing. But I worry about like the motivation behind it. So I don't know if we want to get into that too much. I think we've kind of kicked that horse to death, but
I would keep kicking Mark. Yes.
Maybe I'm just in the mood to not kick a horse, but yeah,
I'm always up for kicking the holes.
Yeah. Pretty much what Kevin said. I think it kind of depends on where you're at and what you need right now. And if one of your needs happens to fall in the category of things that aren't going to get handled until 2026 now, then that's a problem. If it's in the category of something that's going to be handled now, then great. But I don't know. I haven't completely. I'm not sure I fall on one side or the other on this one. I see advantages and disadvantages to both. I you know, and this goes into another story we're going to cover. But I like the idea of making WordPress reliable again, I guess, or whatever. So there's that. So,
Spencer, what's your feelings about this? Oh, by the way, I don't know if it was the actual writer of this article, but, you know, the kind of matching WP engines, there seems to be a matching of hours and that, you know, that bit, I just chuckled as I was reading it. Sorry, I interrupted, Spencer.
No, it's all good. The takeaway for me is I always wondered why. And I think Kevin reflected this, maybe Mark too, but why is there an imperative to consistently break mechanisms and features and metaphors that have been well-established and work fine? Like I got into a scuffle online while I was still in my drama phase for the last month or so of the replacement of something in WooCommerce where it wasn't really necessarily going to happen, but one of the core contributors was asking a question like, are webhooks necessary anymore? And I was immediately triggered into the same thing that happened with me about short codes a couple months ago. And I made a comment like, I don't want to name the person's name because we worked it out, but like, why are you thinking of this? Like, this is like, are steering wheels really necessary on cars in 2025? And I'm like, don't you have some other things to be working on? Like the 7-year journey into the forest, and Kevin's doing this great thing with Edge, but like, how about a unified CSS framework? How about we don't have 500 FSC themes? How about we drop full site editing as a pretense and just stay with Gutenberg and finish the basic blocks? I could go on and on. But the fact that a core contributor was asking a question about webhooks was like, does anybody still use PHP anymore? And I just sort of was like, what is happening? And I think the problem is there is no top-down leadership. There is no captain.
I agree with you, but I've got a bigger insight, which I'm going to share with Heather as well.
So that's my thoughts. My thought is, the problem is, and again, I got my yellow on. I'm looking up at 45 degrees. I am happily 58 years old, but I've been through 4 or 5 cycles of drama in my life. The most recent one we can talk about, but like, I don't need the drama of a 28-year-old or 35-year-old super whiz coder coming in with all his or her whiz bang toys and tools. Like, hey man, let's like take this 20-year-old software platform and start pulling the guts out of it. Like the guy in Airplane who pulls the air traffic controller system's, you know, cord out. Like, just kidding. Like, I don't need that. Let me just have my WordPress and stop farting around with it.
Is 58 the get off my lawn age? Because I'm in the same boat as you. I'm really feeling like
55 is your official.
Is frost?
When you start saying, back in my day, all this.
Well, I've been saying that since 20, but I think when you start getting those AARP letters, yeah, kids these days. Yeah.
If you say kids these days, get off my lawn. But the truth is, here's why, and we can talk about this too, because Kurt and I had a little thing this week, because we love each other. Like, I lost my shit this week.
That's too much detail.
I lost my shit this week because of the fact.
You lost your shit this week.
I've seen this movie before. And when you've seen the movie 5 times, and you're at the age where you see less dots on the what's left of my life than what happened, you're like, stop wasting those dots that I've got left. Yeah. I don't want to go over this again. Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, Heather, I was thinking about this, and you know what I think Gutenberg has turned into in the WordPress? It's turned into Microsoft Longhorn. It's turned in, you know, you remember, you know, the all-embracing operating system that was going to be everything for Microsoft. And they just put more and more features in, and the code base just became unmanageable. And in the end, they just had to give up on 3 years of development in Microsoft. But luckily, the people that developed NT, they had been developing an upgrade and they could use that. But in the end, somebody in Microsoft said, this just ain't going to work out. This is shit. And give their due, they realized in the end, they just had to give it a rest and just walk away from the disaster. And I think Gutenberg and full site editing and all this is WordPress bighorn moment. It ain't working. It isn't going to work. That's what I think.
But Microsoft never actually gave up on the idea of that, because they eventually, like Windows 11, is that like come to fruition. So, I mean, they always had that idea in mind that they wanted.
Well, I knew there were slow workers, but that took about 20 years, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it did. But I mean, they were always still thinking about it, and they finally got it to happen. And now, I mean, like, say what you will about it, but I mean, they stuck to their guns and they're like, this is like, now Microsoft is life for them, you know, like everything is encompassed, and they bought up everything they needed to make that like their living operating system. So I mean, I've been living in the Mac world for the past like, oh gosh, it's been 15 years now, but I mean, but my husband is all in on Microsoft. He's at the MEV summit right now.
Do you still talk to him?
I mean, he's at the super secret conclave in Bellevue this week. It's all like Microsoft. Like, I mean, they're constantly developing new things. So, I mean, if you want to make that comparison, I think that, and what Spencer said, like, sometimes they do have to gut what's there. Sometimes they do have to get rid of the things that, like, we care about. So maybe PHP is dead or is dying. But that said, I have two satellites in space that I like put up there in 1999 that are running TickleTK. Like TickleTK, which was created in like 1979. And like, this is like almost 50 year old code and they're still up there every day. And like our satellite, like our GPS systems are based on this stuff. So, if PHP is old, then like maybe.
Well, I think I see we come back. The reason why I use the Longhorn as an example, because it was legacy code, adding no real central vision and just adding more and more features to this concoction of legacy code and what Spencer touched upon, no real vision or leadership, effective leadership in it. And it ended up in a quite toxic, where anybody in Microsoft wanted to get away from it, either retire or distance themselves. But that's what you have to do.
Like, I mean, you need a paradigm shift, like an actual, not the way people use it, but the real version of a paradigm shift. You have to get rid of the old guard and completely replace them with new people, with new ways of thinking.
I disagree with you there.
I wanted to say I love Heather to death, but Heather knows no matter how long we both shall live, I will never forget you or forgive you for what happened to TechSmith Snagit. Wasn't that company that you're involved at the time? Were you the CEO? I don't know, of the company when they destroyed. No, they brought it the wrong time.
Hey, no, it was Skitch. It wasn't Snagit.
It was Skitch. The most awesome, perfect Mac native screen capture editing tool of all time. And then you tell the story, but like they got a hold of it and decided, let's see if we can destroy everything good about this in one version change.
No, we didn't actually. Snagit wasn't us. Like Skit and Skitch is still active. So like Snagit.
Same.
Yeah.
You don't keep putting it on there.
Snagit
was not us. Snagit was another company.
Yeah, nothing to do. We haven't denied it. This move on. Yeah, Skit.
Look at that. It's
but so I better.
I just say, you know, actually, I'm thinking about this and it's like, what's wrong with asking, what if we do this? What if we do that? I'd rather that the engineers and everybody who the powers that be ask the questions rather than we think it needs this and we think it needs that. And then they go crazy. I'd far rather that they actually ask, even if it's the most ridiculous question or request out there, at least they can get feedback. I know that at MainWP, we get community feedback all the time and we come up with ideas and people say, hey, that's a bad idea. We say, okay, we're not going to do it. So I'd rather have that any day, as ridiculous as it may sound.
Can I get Kurt in?
Kurt, so what do you think? Do you think my Longhorn example had any credence to it?
I tend to think things on a completely different scale, usually. So when it comes to business and projects and things like WordPress, I think of it like long-term athletics. I think of it like long-term weight loss. There's going to be plateaus and there's going to be, to borrow from, you know, people in the business world, runs and sprints and things. And I sometimes think a break is good. Sometimes I think that plateau to regroup yourself and get back to basics and get y'all shit together is a good thing. I also think that there's a lot of spin doctoring going on with all these different articles about WordPress and motives and things and politics being what they are. I still think there was just a lot of craziness going on and maybe a little bit of a break or a slowdown is a good time to readjust, get back to basics, clean things up and let us all get focused on helping our customers.
Yeah, there we go. What shall I do? Shall I continue this discussion, or I don't know what to. I don't know what. See, the only thing, I'm going to wake up Kevin. Kevin's falling asleep here. Aren't you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm good.
No, you probably did read the article because you don't do your homework, do you, Kevin? In this article, it said when they were discussing this, they were using the Chatham House rule as a metaphor for disgust. And I thought, what the bloody hell is that? So I looked it up. Wikipedia came to my rescue, and it was about the Bosnia conflict and about when they were negotiating. And it's about, you don't name people. You have this kind of, how would you describe it, Heather? I thought the whole concept was bullshit myself.
Oh, no, we do this all the time. My company has a lot of workshops that we run, and it depends on what kind of workshop, if we're going to use Chatham House rule or not. So basically, it's when you are running the event and you just don't want to name, you want to have a safe space when running the event.
It's a software project. We're never going to get shot, are I?
No. But if you want to have a place where people can discuss things in a civil manner, then you want to speak freely. So you want to be able to say this. I mean, first of all, everything in the room stays in the room.
Yeah.
So you can name people in the room, but I mean, if it's a broadcasted thing, if it's a live event, then you can, you have to speak generally. This thing happened, but you don't say who did it, or you don't mention companies, you don't mention places, you don't mention time. Like, anything that could identify an event is not mentioned.
So what do you reckon about that, Kevin? I think that beats into your memberships, your managerial style really well, doesn't it, Kevin?
Have you moved on to the second article? Is that where we're at now?
No, we're still on the first one, because I'm trying to it's going so we can go for the break, and we'll probably only cover three stories, but I've got to manage the time. I've got to manage you, Kevin, and I've got to jiggle it all in one go, Kevin.
I mean, I still don't, if we're still on the WordPress thing, the first.
Yeah, wake up, Kevin. We're on the same subject.
We don't have any insights into, do we have any, that was the question. Do we have any insights into how these discussions actually take place? You mentioned there's no top-down leadership. Spencer mentioned there's no top-down leadership. I said 3 years ago, there's no person at the top guiding the ship. It's just aimless. It's everybody doing what they want to do and work on what they want to work on. And you can't have a winning software product in this era where, technology has always moved very fast, but it's like exponential. And we're now at a pivotal moment where AI is coming into the forefront, where these other platforms outside of WP that either didn't exist or were never a threat are now a major threat. And it's unfortunate that right now we haven't had leadership for quite a bit of time, but also right now we have this major distraction. And this is like the worst possible time for a major distraction and the worst possible time to not have any leadership. So the things that are happening in WordPress are not shocking, because if you understand what is an organization with poor leadership tend to look like in terms of consequences, it looks exactly like this. So nothing is, nothing is confusing. Nothing is shocking. It's just, this is exactly what happens. That's why I said 3 years ago that there has to be some form of leadership that steps up, and that doesn't have to be an automatic. That can be via a third-party tool or developer or platform. It's something that solves the problem, something that moves things forward, and something that people can latch onto and get behind so they can get their work done. Like Spencer said, he just wants to get his work done, okay? And these things are preventing us from getting our work done currently.
I see where you come from, yeah. All right, I'm going to go for the break, folks. And we've got some juicy stories in the second half, especially the second one. I can't wait to get stuck into that. I've got some opinions about this story, folks. You're going to find it hilarious. We're going to be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Conversio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Conversio at conversio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a fantastic first half. We only managed to cover one of the stories, but I wasn't that surprised. But it should be a great show. I want to point out, if you're a developer and you're looking for the best WordPress technology, the best plugins, and the best type of hosting with real experience in membership and community websites, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We've got some great hosting plans and deals for you. You can find more information by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something amazing together. Into story two. So story two is about Meta, formerly Word, Facebook.
Could you say all the name? Sorry, Jonathan, because I don't know which story is number two.
Number two is
Sarah Wynne Williams
and her memoir, Careless People. And she wrote this book, and for some reason, Meta and Mark Zuckerberg got a bit worked up about this book, and I have listened to it, and it's Sarah's a typical New Zealander, and she was in the top echelon of the Meta gang, as I call them, and she's got some juicy stuff, but none of it is that surprising to me if you've been following the shenanigans of Mark Zuckerberg, who would, in my opinion, sell his own mother into slavery for extra money. What do you reckon, Heather? You know, do you think they did the Streisand effect? They just gave this book more publicity.
Well, so the book is called Careless People. And since she's not allowed to promote it, we figure we can promote that here.
She seems a very nice person, doesn't she?
So Sarah Wynne Williams, she has whistleblower protection. So she is able to, she was able to write the book in the first place. But she isn't able to promote it because Meta has an injunction emergency arbitration. Not an injunction. So she is a whistleblower for Meta. And basically what she is saying in the book is, as Jonathan said, it's nothing that we don't already know. Like, the culture is toxic, just like in every other Silicon Valley.
Well, Mark, you know, you've got to allow Mark to win his ball games, haven't you?
I mean, she basically talks about
what a shithead. You've got to let this prick win his ball game.
I don't think he's any different from any of the other people out there.
God, it's never really.
No,
really?
Honestly, like I don't like you've heard me talk about these guys in the past. I have personally met a lot of them, and I knew Mark way back in the day when he has had the same investors as me. Like when he was looking for investment, he and Eduardo were initially looking for investment. Like John Doerr, like came to our company back in Boston looking for investment for Facebook. And he was very nice, quiet, presentable. Like he's sitting in our office, and that was the first time I ever met him. And
could you sense the malignancy though?
He's not a malignant person. He's just like all the rest of them. I would say that he is much more of a nerdy, like shy, quiet.
Yeah, he's shy, all right. There's only one thing that drives Mark, and it's the color green. That's the only thing that drives Mark.
Honestly, no. I think it's more that he wants to be accepted. So like it's more of a, he wants to be accepted, and he just doesn't know how to deal with people. So he's really just a kind of like an outcast that wants to be accepted. And now he has all the money in the world.
Can we move on to another juicy bit, Heather? You know, the other juicy bit that fascinates me. It was accusations around Sheryl Sandberg, you know, about being invited to her bed. That was quite juicy. And I don't know how truthful that is or not, but what fascinates, do you listen to the Pivot podcast at all?
No, I don't.
No, because I can only listen to a bit of it because of, well, Trisha's, you know, I can't stand her. Why she ever was one of the biggest tech reporters. This is my opinion. I shall never know. But I think because she mixes with the same San Francisco crowd as Sheryl Sandberg. And I've really got no time for Sandberg. She's one of the biggest hypocrites, in my opinion, that's ever existed. Now, she's the type of person that would bleed liberalism and yet be a slaver at the same time. You know, the woman's got no credibility for me at all. But what I'm fascinated is by how the tech press keep protecting her consistently. And when her name's ever brought up, you just get a list of excuses for her. Am I being unfair? Because I've made my feelings quite clear.
I've never liked her. Like again, I've been in the same circles with her. My friend, their kids are in the same school, so they constantly are. And she's just like, she's not great. So,
You're saying she's not on your Christmas list ever?
No, I mean she's just not. I mean, and anyone that is like, trying to tell the average woman like, oh yeah, you can have it all, when she's like got eight nannies following her everywhere in order to make her life manageable. Like, I don't think.
Well, I love this bit, Heather. It's from her book, which I had the misfortune to listen to. What's it called? Lean In, Women Work and Their Will to Lead. And I love this bit. When you're looking for a life partner, my advice to women is date all of them. Bad boys, cool boys, committed phobic boys, crazy boys, but do not marry them. The thing that makes the bad boys sexy, do not make them good husbands. And I could continue, but it makes me want to vomit, basically. It just wants to make me vomit. Am I just an old geezer, Heather, or is it?
No, I mean, actually, I don't disagree with that.
Oh, right, fair enough.
I mean, I think that, like, you definitely need to date all sorts of people to find who your right match is. But stay away from abusive people. If, like, she's just saying it in a bad way.
Well, I never was the bad boys, so there we go. I'm trying to turn that around. Kevin would agree with that, I think. At least I've woken up, Kevin. He seems awake, but he's not interested, is he? So, Mark, that was juicy, wasn't it, Mark? So, what do you think about this book and poor Sarah? They're sending the lawyers against her, an army of them, basically. You know, they probably sent more letters to Sarah than some people sent letters to me. So what do you reckon, Mark?
Well, it probably reflects my cynical viewpoint of if you have enough money, you can shut anybody up. So, you know, I think it's, so just to make sure, I don't understand quite the legal differences between an injunction and what did you say, Heather, it was called? Some kind of arbitration or something?
Emergency arbitration.
Emergency arbitration. So is that just like a temporary, you know, cease and desist until things get settled, until the court?
Well, we've
that's a Spencer. That's a Spencer question, but Heather brought up the term. So
I have to hit the billing bell before I answer.
Well, who?
I didn't want to use the wrong term.
John, we're going to bill. Okay.
I mean, I can look it up. I can.
Not me. I don't get nervous about me most of the time.
It's something free.
Yeah. So Spencer, why do you think? I think they got upset because I think the things that really got them moving, apart from cheating on the board games bit, that it just, I find that tickling myself. That the guy has got so effing weak. He's got to get people to. It just amazes me. But I think it was the Chinese and the Burma. I won't use the name that the regime is calling Burma. I refuse to use that term. So I still call it Burma. I think it's the revelations about China that Mark was bending over backwards, you know, big surprise, really. But I think it was that element of the book that got them worked up. What do you reckon, Spence?
You know, the story that comes up in my life a lot is the Emperor's New Clothes story. Because, again, I'm at that age and stage and my personality is rigged where I can be easily triggered into situations where everybody is standing around looking at the same thing and 9 out of 10 people say something they know is not true because of an ulterior motive. It's to please the king or work up the corporate ladder or avoid getting kicked off the corporate ladder. And that's why people like me, there's at least a few here are the same boat. We don't work for anybody. We can't work for anybody because we can't shut up about what we see as either untruth or injustice. So what happens here is a person with a legitimate problem, a legitimate complaint, gets suppressed by everybody around them who is drinking the Kool-Aid or like, don't keep talking about that the king is naked. Don't keep talking about that. It's bad for all of us. Shut up. And then they become the pariah because basically that's what has to happen. In order for this delusion of a couple C-suite people or the billionaire or multi-billionaire at the top to continue this delusion, everybody has to continue to say yes, 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 or they get kicked off the ladder. And this applies to life and to politics and certainly into venture-based technology. The problem we have now is the inequity in certain situations is outside the ability for the other people to remedy. For example, in WordPress, I feel very comfortable that I don't have to have a full meltdown because Mullenweg built into his situation a fatal Achilles heel. It's open source software. If Kevin and I decided to just say F all of this and walk away, we could probably drag enough people with us to make something out of it, regardless of whatever WordPress is, because we just took what we needed from it because it was ours. You can't really do that in running the United States of America, or you can't really do that in a situation like Facebook, where there's enough people that are going to punish you publicly to make it hurt. And that's the problem we have today, is that corporatism has overruled the golden rule to the point where people are having their lives destroyed in public, even if they're really truthfully whistleblowers about the truth. And it's something that I feel needs to be remedied for us to go forward as a civilization, because there's a point at which everybody sees the evidence and everybody agrees the emperor's wearing no clothes. And then it causes a fracture in society because there's the Kool-Aid drinkers and the non-Kool-Aid drinkers.
So, Kevin, you got any thoughts why Mark Zuckerberg and the team at Meta, that they got so worked up about this book. That's the thing I don't understand, Kevin, because anybody that's followed Mark Zuckerberg and like Nick Clegg, to my American audience, is one of the most despised ex-UK politicians in Britain. If you mention Nick Clegg's name to the average British person, they just want to vomit. He literally would vomit in front of you. The guy is just despised. And this was 7 years ago when he was an active UK politician. But he had to flee to the US because he had to do a runner. But why do you think they got so worked up about this book, Kevin? Because fundamentally, everything in it, you know, it's previously out there, really, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't claim to know. I mean, the fact that when somebody gets worked up to that level, usually tells me like there's probably some substance there that they're concerned about, right? I mean, this is all salacious and fun and entertaining to talk about and stuff, but you know, it really has to be how confident. What is your confidence interval in terms of?
You don't strike me. You know, we have our ups and downs, but you don't strike me as somebody that needs people to lose their ball games to you.
No. I mean, I think what has happened. Like, if you look at Mark, right? It's like, you know, did he plan for any of this stuff to happen? No. Like he built something that turned into something like just incalculably big and powerful and influential. And nobody sat around vetting him before this happened. It's just a dude, right? And by the way, we don't know everybody he surrounded himself with, or everybody that's making decisions, or everybody that's in his ear and all this other stuff. But I think it's a difficult situation for anybody to manage, much less essentially a random person, right? Who all of this happened around, right? And so I think we can just recognize that he's got all the same imperfections a lot of people have, and he's got all the same insecurities, probably times 1,000 because of the spotlight that you're in. It's not an excuse for bad behavior, obviously. It's just, again, it's one of those things where it's just like, I'm not shocked. Like, I'm not like, you know, it's just, you pick any rando, like all their baggage is going to come with them. And then you put them at the top of something, and this is what you're likely to see.
So my beloved co-host, went on a rant, didn't it? But these people, they're such hypocrites, aren't they, Kirk? They are the worst of the worst, aren't they? That's what, I suppose that's what winds me up, is they're, I'd rather deal with an honest criminal than these people that rap them, try, because you have this crowd in San Francisco and they're these self-righteous liberals, aren't they? And then you've got these extreme Christian fascists crowd as well on the right, and they're all effing hypocrites as far as I'm concerned.
I hesitate to call anyone the worst of the worst or the evil or the unrecoverable, right? Because it goes against my faith patterns. But to listen to people that are incredibly blessed and financially advantaged play victim on an interview is a struggle for the average person to listen to. To listen to somebody say, well, they told us when we started this job, we would all be family. And it's like, you were already an elevated individual in society. You forced your way into this position. Anyone with any sense would have known what they were signing up for. And when you go to a country like China with the track record of China and you try to sell your wares and it's worth $18 billion to your company, you're not going in there with like, we're bringing world peace and equity to the masses. No, you're like, we're going in there to collect $18 billion and we're going to see what this guy needs us to do to make that happen.
Whatever's necessary.
And it sounds crass on my part. Like, maybe I'm just not putting enough, you know, nuance on it. But it's very plain to me. And foolishly, I bought the book because I'm like, now I'm curious. I'm going to listen to the audiobook and see what it says. But I had to fast forward that interview because she was annoying the crud out of me, because this victim card, when you're at the top of the food chain, is a very...
Which interview? You're talking the interview from Sarah Wayne, did, or the interview from Sheryl Sandberg, one of her interviews? I can't listen to Sandberg. I just cannot listen to any of her interviews in entirety, because it just wants to make me vomit. Basically, it makes me feel physically sick listening to her, basically. But that's maybe me. Which one are you talking about then, Kurt?
Well, for me, it was the Sarah Wynne Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're sitting on enough of a nest egg that you could quietly disappear and build your own empire somewhere else on a different channel, quietly and not ruffle people's feathers. And instead, you know, you chose to play the victim card and go this direction. And again, I don't think anyone is unrecoverable. I don't think anyone's the worst of the worst. I'm a lot like Kevin in respects of, you know, doing a little bit of study on Zuckerberg's, you know, success. I mean, he started a website with, which girl do you think is hotter, this one or this one, right? And now we're having a conversation about taking over China. It's a crazy, crazy, you know, story arc. And to put a normal average dude into that position, yeah, you're going to come away with some insecurities and weird.
So just to finish off, Heather, because I think Kirk has touched something. My only criticism of Sarah Wayne Williams is that she's a very intelligent woman, and she really, really, really wanted to join Facebook. And she really... I think she admits she applied 7 times and she did a bit of a campaign. She must have. Do you think really she didn't understand what the belly of the beast, what she was really getting into?
So many people want to be with the FANG companies. Like they really, really want to join them. And no amount of warning against them, nothing will shed the curtain from their eyes until they're actually there. And even there, they still buy into the Kool-Aid of like, this is where I need to be. And the thing is, these companies need you to buy into the mission and the vision in order for them to be successful, so that they can keep using like all of these youth idealists. They'll burn them out, and then there's like thousands more willing to take their place for every single one spot. So, no, I mean, I don't question that at all.
Ratio, I've killed that, but it's just a juice. I just found it so juicy. So on to the next one. Why boring features benefit the WordPress professional? What did you think of this one, Kevin? Because I think you kind of lean totally on the other side. You think that that's a major problem, that WordPress becomes boring, really, don't you? In some ways.
Well, a lot of people outside of WordPress look at WordPress as like a dinosaur. Okay. So I was just talking about AI. I was, Spencer was just talking about PHP. We were all just talking about PHP. We were all just talking about all of these things that make WordPress run, and all of the threats from outside. And so it's a contextual question. It's sometimes boring features are very, very, very important. I would say that in terms of WordPress and where it stands in the world right now, and all of the outside threats and the pace that things are moving along, we can't afford to just have boring features right now. We have to have innovation. We have to have, we have to be looking 2-3 steps ahead. And so I don't think we have time for a lot of boring features right now.
Yeah, Spencer, I see where Kevin's going, but I think the innovation always came from what Kevin is attempting to build from third-party vendors. I think this change with Gutenberg was more driven by automatic's commercial pressures that were put upon it. And it it tried to do what third-party vendors had always done, the innovation bit. So I always think that WordPress should be DAO in a way, and you lead the innovation to the third-party vendors. That's how it's always got its maximum success. What do you reckon, Spencer?
Yes to all of those. So what I've discovered is that if you take some concepts that were discussed years ago now seem to have died a slow death. For example, headless WordPress. It's fundamentally understood by both sides of this argument that there are core things inside of WordPress that really give one a head start for building something else. Now, I don't even imagine Kevin will disagree with me in this. The difficulty is that some of them were fundamentally broke from the beginning. For example, I won't speak for him, but like Kevin's emphasis on a type of logical CSS styling system that's expandable and can be modular and is logical and it doesn't make a bunch of compromises along the way. For me, I lean heavily on the love of the PHP and the traditional jQuery and HTML and CSS, but also short codes and stuff. Where things go sideways is when somebody in the core wants to add a feature. I feel they would do well if there was a top-down way to make a global component that was modular for those who want to use it, that plugs in, but doesn't do it at the expense of all the core things. Because that's where I think the real conflict is coming up, is that nobody knows what I'm talking about with Heather, but like with this product that I use, which is basic, I just relied upon that for so many things. And as soon as they started to, quote, improve it, they took away from me, other than black market, the ability to use the core stuff that I wanted. WordPress, instead of saying full site editing this and force this down your throat, that could be working on how about if we have a global core project like what Etch is doing? And Kevin can be the third party that runs it. But the point is that it's published, it's available. And more importantly than anything, because this is where the problem lies, it has a receptive audience at the top. Because right now, if you try to go into a core discussion, if you want to lose a week of your life, you'll never get back. Go in and try to talk to a core developer on one of those chat rooms, or try to get Mullenweg to listen to anything you're saying about any other common sense. Because I don't think anybody would disagree. There's plenty of good facts to back up the need to improve the core of WordPress. But nobody wants to hear about, like, and by the way, remember Josefa? That lovely Josefa? She's gone. Okay. The promise of Josefa was that she was going to be the intelligent receptor.
I never bought into that.
Well, I'm just saying that gave many of us a glimmer of hope, but it was more like a diversion, wasn't it? Because now we know better.
Very pleasant. She had the ability never to answer a question, which I don't hold against.
Nobody's going to question Sheryl Sandberg. Nobody's going to question Mark Zuckerberg. Nobody at the moment is able to get through to Mullenweg, but the court system will. And then what'll happen is, to be fair, it's going to come to the same result anyway. I keep referring to Kevin because he and I are doing similar things on different levels. He's doing that Etch thing and got a huge audience of people who subscribe to his philosophy. I have a similar group of people who believe WordPress as a service is a thing with the software and the support and the other things. And I think we overlap on the agreement that there'd be better featured systems like an organized CSS framework. But you're never, never, ever, never, 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 ever going to get that from Mullenweg or anybody that he puts in charge. Ever.
Right, let's move on, because I like to get this story. Why brand own communities are the future growth? I think this is this. My other podcast, and I've been hammering away that owning your community, not building it on a third party, blah, 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 is so important. So, Mark, what did you think of this? Because I've been hitting this drum, and I think Kirk would agree, for over a year and a half in my other podcast. So I think it was a fascinating story. Article, really. What's your thoughts on it?
I think anytime you can own, you own. It's really that simple. And you use these other tools like LinkedIn and Facebook or whatever to improve what you own, but don't count on those things to be there forever. You look at anything from, I mean, as kind of an example, I've always had this attitude. I have, I'm an avid photographer. I have Google Photos, I have Amazon Photos, but I also store locally. I also have my own NAS that I store things on. It's the same thing. You got to own everything that you possibly can. So owning your community, and I don't really like that term because, you know, community, you know, chooses to come. You use these other third-party tools as a funnel to bring your community to you, and then you build your community and own it. And it's not a matter of control. It's just a matter of not having to worry about losing what control you have or losing your policies or anything like that. Or, you know, you look at Facebook, they got rid of the API to be able to post to groups at, you know, a few months ago or something like that. Cool. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was just gone. And you look at like services that Google has that, you know, they wake up one day and they're like, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. And
I think LinkedIn, which is an example, is also one of the top notorious platforms.
Yeah,
for this.
Yeah, yeah. But anytime that you have a business that that relies on anything that involves community, you have to be able to control as much of that as possible. In my just own it.
We've got some real big community builders here on this podcast, don't we? Like Heather, you've built a load of communities, don't you, in your time?
Yep.
I thought this article, I agree with Mark. I think some of the wording I didn't agree, but the essence, I thought it was spot on. What's your own thoughts, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it did give some good points. I mean, like one of the main things is when you're starting a community, you need to be able to build on other people's communities first, like always building on that, like being a follow-on person. But you it's going to die immediately if you don't have real active engagement, and you have to have some kind of niche that you're building around, or else what's the point of building it in the first place? So like owning your own audience is key. Like owning your own platform is key. But building on what other people have built to integrate people into there. Like with Evernote, for example, like we didn't really have explosive growth until we built an API. So allowing other people to build on us, where we then built, like, I mean, then suddenly we had millions of creators all of a sudden that then could come into our community and talk about it. Just like WordPress has millions of people building on the WordPress platform that is owned by WordPress. That then gives you a community of people talking about your thing. So, yeah, I mean, whether it's a micro community or a huge movement, it has to be something that people can get around.
So, Kirk, I know you've got to be off in a minute, but what's your own thoughts on this, Kirk? You're muted.
Big fan of ownership, absolutely. I do see the mad rush to these independent memberships, though, not having enough strategy. And we've discussed this before, but you got to come in with strategy. You've got to come in with a message, a niche, to Heather's point. You've got to have a what's in it for me quotient for people to want to join your conversation and have fun. That's a big part. But if you have all that, some people will run the circle and some people run them to mighty networks, or some people to curate or grow their own thing. But really, I found that some of the tools in WordPress are a little more advantageous for my use case.
Well, it's self-serving for me to say that, and I'm just going to make it clear. But I think if you want the maximum ownership, that's what you get. If you're going to build a community, that's what you get with WordPress, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to drive you back to the days of COVID. I had a really well-educated, super nice guy. He taught people how to speak publicly. He was very gifted. He was wonderful. And he was going to run a 7-day public speaking challenge. and he lives in Australia, and he made a post about the vaccine on his personal Facebook account. And the day that his 7-day challenge was going to launch on Facebook, he was locked out of his 7-day challenge that he had charged people to participate in. Those are the kinds of things where is it, if you had ownership and it was your website and your deal, you wouldn't have to worry about getting locked out of your own event. And that to me is when I made the decision, I am not doing these things on other people's properties anymore. I will use them as a net, to Mark's point, to bring them to my property, but I will run my property the way I see fit. And for those that are worried, yeah, there are some hosting platforms that won't take you for certain subject matter or whatever, but just find the one that will. That's the beauty of WordPress. You'll find somebody that will host your content.
So, Kevin, I see you as the grand master of building community. I don't know if it was all planned, Kevin. It was all pre, but you are the Huber master. I see you as the Huber master of building community. Well, so what did you reckon about this article?
I'm a big fan of ownership. I will say that it has costs, though. And it has hassles, and sometimes you have to weigh the options that are available. When we're talking about the risk to deplatforming, for example, that risk is usually isolated mostly to distribution channels like Facebook and LinkedIn, like platforms that are actively distributing your content and helping you collect more eyeballs and eardrums. Yes, good to see Matt in the house here. So, yeah, obviously you would not build a community on Facebook. And people did in the early days, and they learned the hard way why you shouldn't do that, right? You should use those as nets. You should use those as funnels. Now, the bigger question is, if you're going to build a community, should you build it on something like Circle or Mighty Networks or whatever? Or should you do the added cost and complication and headaches and some would say nightmares of trying to shoehorn that into WordPress? And that's a personal decision that everybody's going to have to make. For me personally, I went to Circle. I like Circle as a platform. It's not a distribution platform, right? It's a community hosting platform, let's call it. So they don't go get me new people. And therefore, I don't really think they care all that much what we do in there. If we were in some sort of at-risk topic, then you would probably want to make a different decision. But if we're doing something as mundane as software support and talking about how to grow an agency in a freelance business, then we're probably safe. But the advantages of being on Circle is I don't have to do all of the tech complications. I don't have to do all the hosting complications. I don't have to build new features or worry why certain features aren't working so well because I'm using.
Oh, you're just not with the right hosting provider. I know one that could have helped you.
I'm sure. I just don't want to hassle with it. It's not even a question with Circle, and I like those things to not be a question sometimes.
Yeah. So Spencer, I can just about forgive Kevin. He was straining things a bit far, actually, but I forgive him, but I understand. So what's your opinion, Spencer?
I mean, my personal history is that almost 20 years now, origin story, I started out on the Ning Network because I was doing some other stuff in life, and one thing led to another that got me into technology, into this and then the other, into here. But the first thing on Ning that was similar, full circle, is that the then only singular billionaire, Marc Andreessen, had funded this loud cloud company and they couldn't sell their technology. So they dumped it on his ex-girlfriend, Gina Bianchini, who offered it as a social network for anything before social networks like Facebook and YouTube existed, which is brilliant. $100 million later, they did end up dumping loud cloud on some buyer, but now Gina owned this thing and is running it and she couldn't figure out how to monetize it. So two weird dudes came along and started offering people who were sitting at the empty football stadium, hot dogs and beer, and their lawyers realized, wait a second, we spent $100 million and we're funding the servers and all the rest of this crap, and these two yucca pucks are making all the money. Shut them down, along with 12,500 people. That was what put the seeds in the ground for me to become involved with WordPress and open source. Here we are 20 years later, and the oligarchs are doing 10 times worse again, not only on the platforms or not. So when Kevin or I or somebody else talks about the importance of ownership and control, it's not just the esoteric thing like I'm giving Heather a hard time because you changed my features. It's because you can't do anything to me anymore. me and my 12,000, 50,000, 100,000 customers. So I can be the person who is the benevolent dictator here, and you can't take it away from me. And
this is also the fundamental disagreement I have with Kevin, is that I see the core of WordPress being an enabler, being a much, the actual interface being improved and accepting that full site editing is, in my own mind, the longhorn of WordPress. But just building something that enables people to, I call it in my own mind, modularization, where you can bolt things onto the core in a much easier, painless method. So you get something using AI technology. So you get something that you're not entrapped on a platform. I use that word, entrapped, with Circle, but I agree with Kevin. Of the SaaS platforms, Circle is the best choice, and he made the right choice, in my opinion. But I just see the possibility of making something a lot easier on the WordPress platform.
Well, I'll take it from there, because, for example, it was a long time coming, but finally the WP Managed Ninja team, Shah Jahan Jewel and Juice and the rest of the 150 people that work there, finally made a component, Fluent Community, which is a Circle clone in WordPress. Now, there could be lots of disagreements about like what features do or don't exist yet, but in this very remarkably short period of time, we removed the conversation that I was having to have of any business owner had to deal with one more externality where you didn't own it or control it. Even Circle, as benevolent as they may be, your entire business process of the community was over somewhere else where you really couldn't transport it, take it with you, move it, or own it. We were able to move it in the box. And even with some limitations, that offers to me a greater degree of success for the future. Because like even as of today, I have 10 or 12 emails asking me, can we do this? Can we do that? And it's weird because I'm not the one building the Fluent Community plugin. I'm just building the Lego block that connects it more logically to what's already here. As long as WordPress does not take away the foundations that exist under the soil, I don't care what other things they build. I certainly feel it'd be nice if they were modular and snapped together, because people who do like Kevin and I or other people in this field can build solutions for those who see the world of WordPress as a certain way without having to compromise the most important part. Anything else that's external to the box you own and control is a step in the wrong direction. There's only two things left: transactions through a gateway like Stripe and SMTP, because nobody will deliver your mail. Arguably SMS too. But other than those externalities, right now everything is owned and controlled in the box. And that allows a person like me to be like creative beyond belief with AI. One thing I'll mention, WooCommerce, which is the product we rely on, is awesome. It's got 57,000 little drawers and toggles and switches just to set up one product. It's like 14 minutes of sliding and saving. I have a thing I'm going to release this weekend. What if we flattened out the product thing and just made it like, here's the fields that need to be filled in. Boom. So you or your AI bot can just create products and create displays of stuff. That exists as a possibility, but you're never going to get me to see.
Well, in my opinion, Automattic would have been better advised to have spent their money and time on improving WooCommerce or Woo and really build it into a really hosted alternative to Shopify.
They're doing it at a, I want to say something. The people who run Woo, thankfully, are very gentle, very geeky. They're not marketing people at all. That's like they do not understand marketing at all, but they seem that one guy in particular seems very responsive to the concerns that I and other people have of, please, we have so many customers who have built their financial livelihood on this engine. Don't screw up the engine. And they seem to be doing new things that are adventurous, but they leave the roots in place. That's all that we need.
Beloved, can we quickly, I know you want to be off panel, but can we just have a quick sentence from you about this last story? I just found it delicious. That clamor, I think that's how you pronounce it. Deal with DoorDash so you can finance your fast food addiction through 4 easy payments. Am I losing the plot, or is this the sign of the end of the world, Heather? Yeah, I just take this as a sign that we're doomed. Why am I taking it too far, Heather?
I have seen an increase in people with these buy now, pay later. I saw a movie recently, one of them days. It was really funny. And like one of the main things was the characters were going into a payday loan store, and they were just being told like the whole time, don't go in there, it's a scam. And like right on the outside, it was like 2,000% interest. But I mean, the thing was full. And every time I pass a payday loan store, it's just, I feel so bad for all the people inside. But I mean, it is like Klarna is about to go for an IPO, and it's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, I suppose you could, if you had a more libertarian stance, you'd just say, well, that's up to the individual. If they're dumb enough to have to take full payments for a DoorDash, that's down. Well, what do you reckon, Kevin? Because in some ways it's much, but I just found it delicious. I just saw it as a indicator of how bonkers the world is that we're living in.
I don't know. I think you're overanalyzing it a little bit. I think
I would never do that, Kevin.
Klarna, this is Klarna's product. This is like what they do, right? So they're looking for partners. They're looking for more opportunities. They don't care that it doesn't make sense. They don't care that it's ridiculous that somebody would finance a burrito. They don't care. This is their product. They're looking for new avenues to get their name out there and get their system out there. And that's it.
Do you think Mark Zuckerberg has invested with them?
I wouldn't doubt it.
No, there we go. So what do you reckon, Mark? I just found it delicious.
I don't know. I use a credit card sometimes to pay for my meal at a restaurant. It's not really any different than that. When you get right down to it.
Because Klarna is for people that can't get credit cards.
Well, I understand that, but it's still the same concept. You're paying for a meal long after you've digested it. I mean,
but you can get a credit card. Your credit is good enough to get a credit card. These people.
I understand. I understand that. So is that basically, predatory? Probably, but isn't all lending predatory when you get right down to it? I mean,
I've got a friend here.
I don't know. I'm not, I think that the bigger problem is, and if that's the question that's being asked here, that you have to finance a meal, then that's just a problem. But that has nothing to do with like the crappy capitalistic system that we live in.
I've got a friend,
bigger problems out there.
Yeah, I've got a friend, Heather, that became a multi-millionaire. He had a buyout and he made over 20 million. And he's extremely right-wing. But he helped me out personally about 10 years ago. He's a young guy and he's a great guy, but he is very right wing. And he got chased out of Nevada. He literally got chased out of Nevada because of politics, but he was running a company. I'm not going to go into too many details, but it was in this area and he got chased out for other factors, but they used, but he still managed to sell the company and I think he made over 20 million from it. So I've got mixed feelings, but I just took it for a metaphor where we are, Heather, the madness that we're in. So Spencer, you get the last word before we call it a day. What do you think about this?
I mean, I just want to say that I've been the mom and the dad. I've shopped for the last 25 years for my kids. I see what the price of practical stuff is. I use Costco because I had 3 hungry boys, but even now I use Costco because if you step into like a Target, which is convenient, or a normal grocery store, I mean, leaving eggs out of the conversation. Cost of food, don't let anybody sell you, is so astronomically out of
control. It's insane.
It's gone absolutely bonkers.
Like my son is on vacation now, my 14-year-old, and we just go to have like a lunch. Like two hamburgers, fries, and a Coke is like $48.
Yeah.
That's not inflation. That's corporate fuck you-ism.
That's just because you went to five.
No. If you had told me 5 years ago that I would spend $40 on two sandwiches.
I don't like you criticizing me on Facebook, Kevin, but I do like you, actually, even though you can be an utter prick.
The only thing I want to say is the problem we have, forgetting like the politics stuff, the problem is this is an artificial construct. And it's punishing the people that have nothing left to lose. And the Second Amendment still exists, but also just people peacefully doing it. Like, this does not seem to be a logical thing to take away from people. You know, like wine and circus, the Romans understood to keep the masses tame. Okay. How about McDonald's doesn't cost $99 or a burrito doesn't require an installment loan from Klarna? Because that's about the only hair left holding this society together is like, basic entertainment, because housing's fucked, healthcare's fucked, basic travel is fucked. I mean, for anybody who's not in that 1% like above or doesn't have children, everybody else is looking at like, get the pitchforks, guys. Like, come on. It doesn't make sense that you're a bajillionaire, trillionaire, gazillionaire. Like, how much more gazillionaire do you need to be, BlackRock? Before you realize
when you're running around America with firms. You don't understand, Spencer, when you're an addict.
I understand. I mean, I understand
you can't have enough of your today. You can't have enough of your addiction.
In 1968, which was like sort of a mirror of this last couple of years, the shit got real. People started getting assassinated. The politicians were like literally in fear for the stuff they're doing. And the companies that were doing stuff got tamed by real legislation. Even, you know, one of the Kennedy brothers was out like shutting this stuff down. This is what happens when there's too big of a divide of like normal life should not be so stressful to take your kids to the McDonald's. That's it.
All right, we end it now. But so, Kevin, what's the best way for people to find out more and what you're up to with the scheming, the plotting that you're involved with, Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, HWP.com, get on the list because we have our first public demo. We're at the 6-month mark of development. We have our first public demo on Monday, I believe at 1 p.m. Eastern. So this is going to be, it's a big event. It's probably going to be a few thousand people there and it should be fun.
It's going to be a party.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully you didn't find this too boring. You keep coming back. So I always think you nodded off after.
Always fun.
There you go. Yeah, sure. Heather. All right. Heather, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, my beloved Heather?
You can find me everywhere at Heathery L online, and also check out The Difference, differenceconsulting.com.
We've known one another for almost 10 years now, haven't we? Yeah.
I think more than that.
I think so. You put up with my nonsense. You've been a good friend. Thank you, Heather. Mark, how can people find out more about you?
You can find me gardening and growing produce. But other than that, I am on Twitter or whatever you want to call it. I'm Mark Benzak, 42. I work at Maine WP. You can find me around there. MarkBenzakane.com. And LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. All the places.
Yeah, Mark probably does need to take out these loans because he's become a grandfather. He's got an army of children. He's got a football team of children. And now he's a granddad, aren't you?
Well, yeah. And I'm going to be a step granddad. Yeah. So I am actually building.
You probably need to take out these loans to pay all your.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Klarna could support granddads, I'd be right there.
Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can find out about me at wplaunchify.com or spencerforman.com. In the meantime, I just got solicited by this really good company. I'm going to sponsor them for my food needs. It's called Soylent Green. It's very healthy. They tell me the ingredients are very wholesome.
High in protein.
What could go wrong?
High in protein, yeah.
You could always do the Snowpiercer method, too.
They're eating the people! The dogs, the cats are... for the Charlton Heston fans, nobody here probably knows who Charlton Heston is if you're born.
He's a great thing.
After, yeah.
Well, Tribe, what other WordPress podcast would you be able to listen to what we've just discussed in this hour and a bit? Nowhere else, I would say. This show is original in many factors. We will be back next month to take the mickey about literally anything or anybody that comes on my radar. We will be, like I say, back next month. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.